The Source Podcast is brought to you by TechPont, a San Antonio company that uses cutting-edge digital technology to elevate marketing and advertising campaigns while reporting on transparent, measurable results. Their custom-built marketing strategies offer complete digital solutions and management. TechPont strives to help businesses connect with customers and effectively grow businesses. More at TechPonte.com.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Michelle Obama's Becoming was the top-selling book of 2018, and this month, branches of the San Antonio Public Library are having book discussion groups around the city. Their first one is today at 6 o'clock at the Johnston Library. And we're having our own book club on the air about Becoming. What did the book say to you? Or what are you getting from the book? And what does it say about America? Do you recommend the book? Why or why not? Here's a clip of the former First Lady speaking at the 2008 Democratic National Convention.
My dad was our rock. And although he was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis in his early 30s, he was our provider. He was our champion, our hero. But as he got sicker, it got harder for him to walk. It took him longer to get dressed in the morning. You know, but if he was in pain, he never let on. He never stopped smiling and laughing, even while struggling to button his shirt. Even while using two canes to get himself across the room to give my mom a kiss. He just woke up a little earlier and he worked a little harder. He and my mom poured everything they had into me and Craig. It was the greatest gift a child could receive. Never doubting for a single minute that you're loved and cherished and have a place in this world. And thanks to their faith and their hard work, we both were able to go to college. So I know firsthand from their lives and mine that the American dream endures.
And that was Michelle Obama. That clip gives you a bit of the tone of her book, Becoming. She tells her story of how she came up and how there was struggle, but she triumphed, and how other people are also have followed that path. We want to talk about that this afternoon, You can call in. The number is 210-614-8980, 614-8980. You could also email your questions and comments to thesource at tpr.org and tweet at us at tprsource. Join our book club on the air. With us is Marcella McGowan. She is the Adult Services Librarian at the Cody Branch of the San Antonio Public Library. Carla Broadus is with us. He's Senior Lecturer in Literary Education and the Director of the African American Studies Program at UTSA. And Laura Mims is the former Assistant Director of the White House Initiative on Educational Excellence for African Americans under the Obama Administration, a doctoral candidate in education psychology at the University of Virginia. And thank you so much for joining us, all of us. So let me go around the table and get an idea of what just your impressions were of the book. And so, Carla Broadus, can you start off?
I absolutely fell in love with the book. The book meant a lot to me because just the title, and because I'm a literacy person, looking at the front of the book, as I would tell students to do, and use your prior knowledge, Becoming. And I'm looking at a picture of a black female. And that means a whole lot to me. So just looking at the front and becoming, that tells me a lot. There were a lot of messages in there for women and men to grasp. There were a lot of opportunities to understand how to interact with people, how to take information from people, use it to better yourself, how to be strong, because Michelle gave us a lot of lessons in that book, how to allow things that people say to you, how to and do to you, how to let it bounce off and keep going and becoming the woman that you are.
Marcella McGowan?
Yes.
Tell us about your impressions.
Again, I'm going to echo, I love the book. But one of the things that I really loved is the title chapters, Becoming Me, Becoming Us, and Becoming More, which really breaks down the evolution of Michelle's life. I think one of the biggest things is for her sharing in believing in how she was able to find her voice. When you played the clip about the when she did the speech, on page 271, it says, "When I finished, people applauded and applaused, and I was powerful. It was a powerful blast of relief knowing that maybe I've done something finally to change the perception of me." And I thought that was one of those profound moments where people will see one thing about Michelle and didn't really know the whole picture. So this book is just an evolution of her going from being Michelle to being a mother, or being a wife, then a mother, and then being the first lady of the United States. So it was just, again, it was a really great book.
Lauren Mims, I would really want to hear your impressions, seeing that you had of you from inside the administration. What did you think of the book?
I loved every page of the book. I feel like I savored both the sentences and the larger takeaway messages. I think that when you read a Black woman who will forever be my first lady, the first lady say, "Am I enough? Yes, I am." To ask kind of what kind of person do I want to be? How do I want to contribute to the world? And then to talk about how so many of us go through life with our stories. And in telling her story, she feels like she can support other people in the journey. And I think that was the way that the lifting as you climb was something that echoed throughout the administration. And so my role as assistant director in the White House Initiative on Educational Excellence for African Americans, and the executive order was signed in late 2012 by President Obama to create the initiative, really was to think about how we can center the voices of students in research, policymaking, and kind of everyday practice. And so for her to ask questions that I think students are asking all the time, and am I enough? She talks about how she asked that question when she entered a new school. She asked that question many different times, and the answer is always a resounding yes, I am. And I think every time she says, am I enough, and answers it, she's also answering it for someone who may not explicitly be asking that question. So I just thought it was a beautiful work that I am grateful that she put out into the world, because I think that through her vulnerability, you see such strength. But I think I definitely saw echoes of myself. I saw echoes of my students among the pages. And so it's just a really great work. And I can tell, I know why it's on the bestseller list. I would read it over again for the first time if I could.
And Lauren, what do you think about the choices that the former First Lady made in writing this book, where she took a very positive tone? She didn't use this as an opportunity to settle scores. She was straightforward and honest, but she was mainly focused on herself and explaining who she was, who she is.
Yeah, I really do believe, as she says, when they go low, we go high. But I think in the way that she addressed the current administration towards the end of the book, she, I think often we are not used to people talking. Most times we hear people talking about what we're fighting against. We don't often hear what we're fighting for. And I think her book answered what we are fighting for. And I think implicitly you could see that, you know, these are the values that she holds. And she talks about how when she was there on inauguration and she noticed that her values didn't align, she stopped smiling. And so I think when you read the book and you think there is a way where you begin to compare, but I think she charts out a path for what we're fighting for rather than dwelling on what we are fighting against. And I think it has to be both and, but I think in this book, I really liked how she focused on all the work that was done and kind of talking about all the work that can be, both personally kind of for me as I'm working, and as well as for others.
We're taking a break. The number to call in if you got some comments to make about the book Becoming, Michelle Obama's autobiography, 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Source continues right after this.
If you were a girl with a brain and a dawning sense that you wanted to grow into something more than a wife, Mary Tyler Moore was your goddess. And here I was now, 29 years old, sitting in the very same apartment where I'd watched all that TV and consumed all those meals, dished up by the patient and selfless Marian Robinson. I had so much, an education, a healthy sense of self, a deep arsenal of ambition, and I was wise enough to credit my mother in particular with instilling it in me. She'd cooked for us with care, putting broccoli and Brussels sprouts on our plates and requiring that we eat them. She'd hand-sewn my prom dress for God's sake. The point was, she'd given diligently, and she'd given everything. She let our family define her. I was old enough now to realize that all the hours she gave to me and Craig were hours she didn't spend on herself.
And that is Michelle Obama reading from her book On Tape. It's her book, her autobiographical memoir, Becoming. We're talking about that this afternoon as our book club on the air. And you can call in. The number is 210-614-8980. A lot of the book is about how she came up, her family, her influences, how they raised her as an adult. Carla Broadhus, do you think all those things helped shape her into being the person that she led as First Lady?
That's interesting you brought that up, because one of the things that I underlined was what impact I felt it had on her that her parents spoke to her as an adult and let her talk about all of the topics that a lot of families say are taboo. And along with that, she indicated in the book that her grandfather was a very irritating person, and everyone else would just kind of move away when the grandfather would say all sorts of things, but that she was one of the only people or the only person that would confront him. Mm-hmm. And I can't help but think that the adult conversation, along with the fact that she learned at an early age how to tackle someone that was negative and walk away with a smile, that could not have, there's no way that didn't have an impact on how she dealt with our society and the doubters that were against her.
And Marcella McGowan, what do you think about that?
Well, one of the things on page 207 is when she was talking about how when she was brought up with the family dinner and things like this, on page 207, this is when her husband was running for Senate, and they had gone to marriage counseling and things like this. But when it came time for dinner at home dilemma, I installed new boundaries that worked better for me and the girls, between, you know, her and the girls. So dinner every night was at 6:30. Baths were followed at 7 o'clock, followed by books, cuddling, lights in, lights out at 8 o'clock. What she didn't want to do is she wanted to make sure that her girls understood that if their father wasn't there at that time, that what she instilled to them, and I'm just going to read it the way it is, I didn't want them to wait for Dad. It was his job to catch up to me, and I thought that catch up to us. I thought that was one of those profound moments in the book, and I'm like, look at her, you know? So it was just one of those things where, as a woman growing up with being in a one-room, or I think it was like a three-room house that they kind of lived in, her and her brother, and having those family thoughts and impressions and things like this, made her even stronger in how she wanted her daughters to live in the White House and not get swept up into the grand, mess of how the White House is.
Sure. Lauren Mims, and as a former assistant director of the White House Initiative on Educational Excellence for African Americans under the Obama administration, we saw many people criticizing the Obamas, and especially criticizing Michelle Obama and trying to define her, frequently wrong in what they were saying about her. But she is coming out with this book and saying, this is who I actually am and how I became to be. And so why do you think, is that accurate? And do you think that's important?
I do think it's important that she does address that. I really liked in the preface, she says, since stepping reluctantly into public life, I've been held up as the most powerful woman in the world and taken down as an angry Black woman. I've wanted to ask my detractors which part of that phrase matters most to them. Is it angry or Black or woman? And throughout it, I think she discusses how she addressed those controversies surrounding her identity. I think a lot about the cartoons that really showed her body and, you know, in really negative ways. And so I think for her addressing that, it reminds me a lot of the adultification and the ways that Black girls are seen as older, less needing of nurturing, more knowledgeable of topics such as sex. This was a recent study found by the Georgetown Poverty Law Center. And so in discussing how society views her, I really appreciate that because I think it's an important, in thinking about a book club, it's an important discussion to really think about how are Black women and girls represented in society and what are the consequences and implications of that. And I think that we saw that play out on a national stage, but I think we see that happen in classrooms every day.
So, Lauren, as African-American women, this is a common problem that others are trying to steal your story, rip it away from you, and replace it with something that is completely not true.
Yeah, I think it's based on these really damaging stereotypes about Black women and Black girls. And so in the research that I do in my findings, I see a really pernicious stereotype that Black girls are often seen as troublemakers rather than problem solvers. So for a simple thing like a student answering, when I was at the White House Initiative, there was a student who testified on the Hill, and she said that she was suspended because she asked a teacher why they only talked about Black people when it was time to talk about slavery and why they didn't talk about Black children in other circumstances. The teacher found that to be threatening and she ended up being suspended for that. But she was really just challenging why there is this one-dimensional way of talking about Black people and that excludes some of the narratives like we see here where we're seeing Black women in leadership positions, yet in what she was articulating as in the textbooks, frequently we're not seeing that same equal representation and discussion of the prominent ways that Black women supported families. And they did that even when they were enslaved.
Yeah, and Carla brought us, I'd love to hear what you have to say about that.
Well, first let me explain to you that when Michelle was talking about looking at Mary Tyler Moore and trying to put together where she was going to be in society, judging her mom, I could relate totally to that because I was one of those little girls off the south side of Chicago that was also looking at Mary Tyler Moore saying, now I can go and take over an office like she's doing and be in charge, but you got the mom who's sitting us down at the table making us eat at 5 o'clock doing all of those kinds of things. So I totally could relate to her to see how she was shaping all of those experiences into what she was going to be at a later date. I think for young people, for our girls, they do run into a lot of problems because we are prepping our girls to go and be out here in a multifaceted society that it's not ready for them yet. When Michelle won, and keep in mind, I am a part of maybe three different facets of this San Antonio community. I will never forget a woman walking up to me saying, we finally have a lady in the White House. And I went, oh my God, if you didn't think Michelle Obama was a lady. And what also was going through my head, this is a school teacher. This lady's getting ready to judge little girls who appear like Michelle Obama differently than she's going to judge the other kids in the classroom. So that right there scared me and reminded me that our girls aren't going to be treated possibly fairly if they come across like Michelle Obama. Because to me, she is the ultimate lady. I thought she sent a message that our girls ought to listen to, though, as well. One of her messages in the book was outcomes that you possibly put in a lot of hard work and you worked and worked to achieve don't always come out positive. But that doesn't stop you from continuing to work. And I think as our girls are in the classroom, totally not being judged like you'd want them to be. Like I even have a granddaughter, two granddaughters right now that are going through that. Going through what Michelle Obama went through, talking white.
Oh, yeah. Her cousin told her, why are you talking white?
Talking white. I've got my own two granddaughters experiencing that. So I could totally relate to this book. And the oldest granddaughter, I shoved this book in her face to read.
And what'd she say?
Totally involved.
So let me go to Marcella McGowan at the San Antonio Public Library. Y'all are having these book discussions around San Antonio at branches. What's the response look like? How's this going?
So far, it's been going pretty well. There are different branches that are going to be hosting the Michelle Obama discussion book. So at Maverick on February 14th from 6:30 to 7:30, there's going to be a discussion. At Cortez on February 22nd from 4 to 5, it's going to be a discussion. At Carver on the 26th from 6 to 8, and IGO, in which Carla is going to be speaking, on February 16th from 4 to 5. So there's a lot of discussion potentially on the book. Now, I was able to pull some statistics in terms of getting access to the book. So there are 397 paperback books that are currently on hold. So that means a number of people are waiting for those 397. There are 114 holds on CDs, and there are 756 ebooks holds. So not having access to them right now. So this is the number of people waiting for this book. And then there are 769 e-audiobooks that are being requested. So it's kind of popular right now.
Sounds pretty popular. But the people who are wanting the book, it's not just any particular demographic, it's across the board?
It's across the board, yeah. It's definitely across the board.
And so Lauren Mims, you know, people are publishers are very reluctant to take on African-American female authors saying they don't have an audience. Does this help knock that down?
I think so. I mean, I think we have seen, I think, a lot about Black Panther and Wakanda and so many Black films and media that are doing incredibly well. So I think that what Michelle Obama, she's asking questions that everyone can relate to, but particularly Black women and girls can relate to. So I think that it is important that becoming is for everyone, but there is something incredibly special about seeing your story represented when it has not necessarily been represented in the same way before. I think a lot about, one of the first books I remember where I feel like I felt like I saw myself represented was Warriors Don't Cry by Melba Petillo Beals. And we read it in middle school. And I remember I didn't return the class copy. I was so excited about the book that I still, to this day, I have moved probably maybe 7 times and I have the class copy of the book because I kept reading it and rereading it because there's a moment where she talks about how it's really hard to integrate Central High School. And she says, you know, some days I don't want to be a warrior. Some days I want to be a girl. And it made me really think about when I was going through kind of my own stressors, thinking, hearing somebody say that and kind of center both race and identity was something incredibly powerful.
We're talking about the book Becoming by Michelle Obama, the top-selling book of 2018, and it is still selling at the top of the list. We've got a question or a comment. We want to hear from you as we have our book club on the air. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. The source is going to take a break. We'll be right back in 2 minutes.
From the Motown records I wore out on the South Side to the Who Run the World songs that fueled me through this last decade, music has always helped me tell my story. And I know that's true for everybody here. Whether we like country or rap or rock, Music helps us share ourselves, our dignity and sorrows, our hopes and joys. It allows us to hear one another, to invite each other in. Music shows us that all of it matters. Every story within every voice, every note within every song. Is that right, ladies?
Yes,
ladies!
Right, Michelle?
Yes,
it
is!
And that was last night at the Grammys. Former First Lady Michelle Obama made a surprise appearance, standing with other superstars of different musical genres, talking about uniting and healing through music, putting away divisive rhetoric, and talking about what we have in common. We're talking about her book, Becoming Michelle Obama. We're having a book club on the air. We invite you to join us. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Lauren Mims, you're former assistant director of the White House Initiative on Education Excellence for African Americans under the Obama administration. The Obamas frequently were criticized for stepping out and showing up and at public forums like the Grammys and talk shows and really trying to reach out to people in unconventional ways. But this is a time where she is really talking about coming together with a healing. Do you think we need that message today? You think that book speaks to, her book speaks to bringing people together?
Absolutely. I think we always need that message, but particularly now. And I think in seeing her stand with all the other women as she did last night was emotional for me, because it reminded me of her work that she did with the Council on Women and Girls and really supporting girls' education with Let Girls Learn. And so she was just so passionate about both about empowerment, but empowerment in the way that you work with women and girls to harness the power that they already have. And so when she stood and emphasized sisterhood last night, I was really excited, because I think that's a message that we always need to hear. And I think we are absolutely stronger together.
Carla Broaddus, the senior lecturer in literacy education and director of the African American Studies program at UTSA. Are there some things in Michelle Obama's story that she tells which are in a little way kind of taboo in the African American community?
Most definitely. Keep in mind now, my Literacy Ladies Book Club, we already had a book discussion on this book, and many of them are my age. But we started thinking about, wow, she was bold enough to talk about fertility and the fact that she had to go through steps to take fertility drugs in order to achieve success at having a child. That's not something that is just discussed in the African American communities. Like, that's a no-no conversation. But she gave young women an open door to say, look, this happens to a lot of people. There are steps, just like with socialization, to get unstuck. Because she kept talking about, don't stay in the same place, get unstuck. And so she gave them an avenue to not be unstuck when you want to have children. She also talked about how she invited Barack to her parents' home before they were married to spend the night. And oh my God, I said, you are a brave lady, because I wouldn't have been bold enough to do that. And I'm not sure that if my daughters, who are in her age range, would have tried to do so, that I would have been like her mom. I'm not sure I could have handled it, but she did. And her mom did. And her mom used it as a growth mechanism to spring her forward. And I can't help but think, there must have been some good in that. Mom got to really look over Barack, and Dad got to do the old look over of Barack to make sure that Barack was okay to move forward in their household. So she opened up some information that nobody else had to dig for. She gave it herself, and she helped young women figure out how not to be stuck. And so I have to applaud her for that.
Marcella McGowan, adult services librarian at the Cody branch of the San Antonio Public Library. One thing about this book I know you brought out is how Michelle Obama defines herself as an individual. Yes, she is married. Yes, she was first lady. Yes, she is a mother. Yes, but first of all, though, she saw herself as responsible for her own happiness.
Yes, yes, most definitely. Let me just kind of piggyback on something else. When she was looking for a job, she actually had, you know, several different jobs, but one of the things in the book she talked about was taking her daughter on an interview with her. And I thought that was not necessarily taboo, but who would have, like you said, who would have the cojones to kind of do something like this? But she basically, you know, brought her daughter because she didn't want, what she says was, I didn't want to work part-time anymore. I was done with that. I wanted a full-time job with competitive salary to match so that we can afford better childcare and housekeeping so I could lay off the pine salt and spend more free time playing with the girls. And at the end, the person that was interviewing her said, it seemed a miracle that my would-be boss appeared to get it. If he had any reservation, he didn't show it, he didn't say anything, but she pretty much walked out of that interview knowing, okay, I pretty much got this job. I don't know how many other women can do something like this and not think that they would have a, you know, not necessarily have a job, but just to even go in there to do something like this. So I'm not going to say it's a trailblazing kind of move, but it was just one of those things.
It sounds pretty tough.
Yeah. Yes. But it's just something that only somebody who, because of her becoming me, becoming us, can maybe do something like this.
So Lauren Mims, when Michelle Obama was at Whitney Young High School, she went to the guidance counselor, and the guidance counselor told her, I'm not sure that you're Princeton material. So how did Mrs. Obama, how did she handle hearing that statement?
I think she handled it in the way that many of us have to handle when she said that during the administration, and I worked with the team on Reach Higher, thinking about getting to and through college. She often told that story to those in the audience, and there was always kind of a, yeah, or many people could relate to that. And so the fact that she said, you know, instead I just, that what she, you know, did in surrounding herself with positive people and not letting the opinion of one person define where she was going to go, I think is such an incredible lesson and something to hear. And it's something that I think many of us can relate to. I remember a man said to me prior to going to start my PhD focusing on Black girls and education, I went into his office so excited about this plan that I thought I was going to do for my PhD. And he said to me, he said, well, Lauren, this sounds like a really great plan, but do you know what I want to do? He said, I want to climb Mount Everest. But for both of us, that may be impossible. And for me, when you hear something like that, you are immediately crushed. And you think somebody in a position of power has said this. So what does that mean for this dream that I've articulated? Similarly, her saying, you know, that she wanted to go to Princeton and somebody saying that she needed to think smaller. In that office, when he told me I needed to think smaller, I remember returning to those who have supported me and kind of thinking about my own identity and telling me that I am enough to be able to do that. So I think for me, in the same way that she was enough and she thrived in college, I am finishing my last semester of my PhD doing what I told him in that office. And so I hope that that lesson in being able to read that, particularly in thinking about high schoolers or college students who are able to read that, they can use that as a point of navigating their own adverse experiences that they may have.
And Lauren, you're also developing a curriculum for young girls based on becoming. What's in that?
Yes, yeah. So I think that it's really kind of developing a curriculum. It is such a project of love. So I think at its core, Michelle Obama's book says you matter. And so in using her book, as well as other resources that talk about the experiences of growing up young, gifted, Black, and a girl, it is I'm working to create a space that says, you know, let's talk about our stories. And together, let's also begin to find solutions to some of the most intractable problems that the society is facing through this really kind of brave and open space where everyone can bring their full selves. And I think that is at the heart of Michelle Obama's book. Not only does she talk about inequality, so I think I love in chapter one on page 16 when she talks about when she's at the piano and she sees a brand new piano and she writes, maybe the piano teacher comes over to her to offer her, you know, a moment of consolation. And she thinks about why the piano teacher may have done that, saying, maybe she knew that the disparities of the world had just quietly shown themselves to me for the first time. I can imagine many of the girls that I work with have moments like that where disparities become evident to them. So the question is, how then can we use that as an opportunity point for discussion, as well as looking at community level data that discuss the disparities to provide them with a foundation for social action?
All right, we're taking another break. We're talking about Michelle Obama's book, Becoming. We want to hear from you. If you've read the book, it's been a number one bestseller for many months now. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980, an important book on American history from the eyes of a First Lady. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back.
In my own small way, I've tried to give back to this country that has given me so much. See, that's why I left a job at a big law firm for a career in public service, working to empower young people to volunteer in their communities, because I believe that each of us, no matter what our age or our background or our walk in life, each of us has something to contribute to the life of this nation. And it's a belief that Barack shares, a belief at the heart of his life's work. See, it's what he did all those years ago in Chicago, setting up job training to get people back to work and after-school programs to keep kids safe, working block by block to help people lift up their families. It's what he did in the Illinois Senate, moving people from welfare to jobs, passing tax cuts for hardworking families, and making sure women get equal pay for equal work. It's what he's done in the United States Senate, fighting to ensure that the men and women who serve this country are welcomed home, not just with medals and parades, but with good jobs and benefits and health care, including mental health care.
And that was Michelle Obama speaking at the Democratic National Convention in 2008. And we're talking about her book, Becoming, Michelle Obama's autobiography, her memoir. You're invited into the conversation, 210-614-8980. In her speech, she mentions the military and the servicemen. That was one of her topics when she was First Lady. She took on multiple areas, one of them healthy eating, fighting obesity. The other one was working towards help the service men and women in the United States. Lauren Mims, these were areas that sometimes drew criticism because they thought that she wasn't doing enough.
You know, I think that every administration draws its own criticism. I think that being in the administration, we were always working as hard as possible to do as much as possible and to do it in a way that aligned with our kind of North Star, our vision. And so I am really proud of what First Lady Michelle Obama and Dr. Biden did as it relates to supporting our military families. I think it was not just something that was done lightly. I think they were so strategic about it. One thing about the administration was the immense amount of thought and care that went into every action. And sometimes you can't see that when you're not behind the scenes, but it was just a dedicated group of individuals who were really passionate about the well-being of Americans.
There are quotes from the book that have become very popular. People share them. Things are being printed on them and being sold. There's some certain quotes. One of them is, there's still a lot I don't know about America, about life, about what the future might bring, but I do know myself. Carla Broadus, can you talk about why that quote seems to be resonating with so many people?
Because Michelle Obama made it a point in her book to tell us the different growing facets of her life. She started off very young. She made it a point to give us some ground rules about what occurred. Then she carried us into high school, college, dating. She took us all through all of the developmental steps. She let us know that even her friendships impacted deaths in her family, what impact that they had on this product that we saw as First Lady. She's told us that she had to understand where Barack was coming from when he said have a parallel marriage. And she herself was saying, no, marriage means you get into one person. She had to take all of what she had learned and try and build from it. And I think the interesting thing that we need to take from her quotes, even if we're working with young girls, we always tell them, do the reading process. But the final process of the reading process, now that you have all of this information, what are you going to do with it? Where are you going to take it? Because Michelle kept telling us all through the book, it's a learning process. You never stop learning. You build from it. What are you going to do with this information? She kept bringing up to us, for instance, when you talked about the eating correct. Well, all you have to do is grow up on the South Side of Chicago like I did, like Michelle did. You know that fresh vegetables, that's not something that's in your face all over the South Side of Chicago. She was teaching. So what are you going to do with this information?
Another quote, your story is what you have, what you will always have. It is something to own. Marcella Gowan, why do you think that's important?
I think it goes back to her trying to find her voice, trying to find her place, whether or not it's in Princeton, whether or not it was at the law firm, at the hospital, in her marriage with her kids. It's her embracing and finding her spot, again, finding her place. There's another line that I like that's on page 206, and it says, it was possible that I was more in charge of my happiness than I was allowing myself to be. And that's something where you kind of have to step back out of yourself and factor in everybody else, but try to find your own place in the world, try to find your own voice and to run with it. I mean, I think the thing that she's done with grace and dignity is being able to share that and talk about a lot of different topics, which makes her very relatable. So it's just, she doesn't have to be a loud, boisterous person about something, but just she shows empathy, she shows passion, and which makes her relatable. And I think that's maybe another reason why a lot of people kind of find some of these quotes kind of something that kind of just makes you kind of sit back on and just like really think about it in a sense, because that's something that she has done in her own life.
And Lauren Mims, the book also, it's about her story, but it's also about America and race in America, what is said and what is not said, and her finding success in against the odds, but it was never easy. What kind of message does that send?
I think it's important to send the message that, I often think when I'm working with students, their suggestions, it's really important that when we talk about, particularly being Black History Month, when we talk about Coretta Scott King or Rosa Parks or the Little Rock Nine, it's also important to ensure that that you discuss the full story. So you talk both about the incredible acts that they do, but you talk about it in context, and in context where they're facing kind of huge challenges such as racism and discrimination. So then I think it's important in her telling the story that includes moments where she faced adversity, it allows other students to know that when they face adversity, there's not something wrong. And I love the idea of becoming and the idea of becoming that you are always, you can be a woman in progress and still affect change, that you can show up as your unapologetic self just as you are. And that is, that's enough. And so I think that that is an important message, particularly for Black women who may feel like feel the threat of the strong Black woman trope where you have to be strong all the time. And I think that you are strong, even in the vulnerable moments in her book, she's demonstrating strength. So I think she really is reframing some of these narratives by providing a really human and important story.
And Michelle Obama continues to top the list of the most respected women in America. When people take these polls, she is outshining the current first lady. What is it you think about Michelle Obama that makes her this dynamic, important role model that we're grateful to have, Carla?
For one, she understands the power of her voice. She constantly reminds us to use your voice and use it positively. You know that she's really outshining simply because, okay, I'm an educator, so of course I'm going to say she's educated.
It helps.
It helps a lot. She got the education. She knows how to utilize her education. She knows how to read. She knows how to write. She even knows about writing her own messages. She doesn't have to utilize anybody else. And she has a brain to think on her own. She demands respect. And I think that's extremely important.
Music was a big part of her life.
Oh my goodness, yes.
You know, always turning towards music. And Marcella Gowan, you know, her theme song is Signed, Sealed, and Delivered.
By Stevie Wonder. Yes,
she uses it all the time, and he turned to that song. And really quickly, Lauren, why do you think that's her theme song?
It's a beautiful song. I also want to say This Is For My Girls is also a song kind of particular to Michelle Obama and her idea of girls and supporting girls. So I love that song as well.
These book clubs are happening around San Antonio at the public library branches, talking about becoming a Michelle Obama. Marcella Gowan is with us. She is with the Cody branch of the San Antonio Public Library. Carla Bottas is the Senior Lecturer of Literacy Education, Director of the African American Studies Program at UTSA. And Lauren Mims is a former Assistant Director of the White House Initiative on Education Excellence for African Americans under the Obama administration. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio.